Give Jesus a hand. Amen. Stand to your feet, church. I just want you to give Jesus a big praise. Amen. Has he saved you from something? Has he delivered you? Amen. I know I'm not the only one with a testimony today. We woke up. Amen. Somebody didn't wake up. Somebody has nothing to shout about today. But he brought us here. Amen. And I just want you to keep your focus on Jesus as we go through this word today. I know it's not a coincidence that I had Sunday off. You remember I got this new job where they don't care about church. they just don't care. And anytime I can get a Sunday off, I like to just, number one, attend. And when Pastor gave me the phone call this morning, I knew it was God. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me on some thoughts here that I know beyond a shadow of doubt is for us at this body. Everyone who attended today, the Holy Spirit's got a word for us all. Amen. So I want you to put your spiritual receptors on, get your antennas out, and hear what the Holy Spirit would say to the church. We're going to go into Matthew 9:27. Before we pray, we're going to read a scripture. Amen. Somebody say amen or something. Amen. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. And while you're turning, I want to just give some testimonies. You know, we was blessed to be able to go hit the streets just maybe 3 weeks ago. And right on the corner of a busy street in Columbus, I'm talking about a traffic light right in front of you. And we began to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. At least I was with other people that don't necessarily hold dear to the cross. But, you know, when it comes to salvation, everybody preaches the cross. I mean, there's no other way to get saved other than through the bloodshed of what Jesus did on Calvary. And I kid you not, cars began to roll their window down when they stopped. And set, I mean, like from me to Paul, there's a car and here's us blaring, you know, and they begin to roll the window down, and some people went around the corner to come back, and people begin to walk and just, you know, with lawnmowers trying to hustle up some money, because we were in an area with just a lot of panhandling and people just trying to get by, and people begin to put down what they had and give their heart to the Lord, you know, and that to me is big business, because the Holy Spirit wants to save people in this hour. There's people that are dying and going to hell, and a lot of them are right in our families, and a lot of us are going through struggles in this day. We're going through struggles of our life, and it's all a ploy to get us to take our focus off of what God has for his church. God wants to bring revival, and he wants to bring revival in this area, and believe it or not, he's going to use this church. He's going to use us, amen, but he's got to position us to get into the place to where we see what's important and lose focus of that which is not important. And we're all built of the same stuff called flesh. Amen. Nobody's exempt. Nobody. And that's why the Holy Spirit will raise up a Pastor Browning. Amen. And it's no coincidence that he's sick. And I got the phone call. Pardon me for taking a side road, church. But, you know, I got the phone call, you know, that they don't understand why this is happening to him the way it's happening. And I want to pray again before we leave, not to discredit what we prayed, but I think the Holy Spirit's going to show us something. And I want to pray violently for our pastor today, because that's an attack of Satan. They don't understand why, but we know why, that this is the man of God for this church, and he's got something for us to give these people. And Satan, he's lost already, because God, when you shut a window, God will open up a door, amen, because the Holy Spirit's still going to speak today. Satan, you're defeated in this place, amen. You are defeated, Satan. Somebody's going to get set free. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to hear what thus saith the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to read chapter 9, starting at verse 27. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, oh, thank you, Jesus. thou son of David, have mercy on us. 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said unto him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, hallelujah, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they that were departed spread abroad his fame in all that country. Let us pray. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we need you today. Like the blind man, Father, we need you. We need you this hour. I need you. And Lord, we thank you that all you require is faith. And Father, the revelation that bases our faith, Holy Spirit, you're there to help us consistently. Help us now reveal Christ to this audience, Lord God, and anyone that might be listening by audio tape or CD. Father, let the listener know that this is not a coincidence, but this is a divine appointment that they may hear a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When I was preparing this message, I began to think of some stories I've heard. There was a church we used to go to in Columbus, and I remember strongly the pastor was sent to some of these parts in Africa where there was churches there. And let me explain something. These churches had a lot of cases, no running water. There was no air conditioning, far be it air conditioning. And he began to give stories of how they danced before the Lord during praise and worship. And they, you know, he said it was packed. It was a big deal to go to church. And people would walk sometimes 2-3 miles with dress clothes on. And they would go to church in blazing heat. And this pastor said, you know, being kind of spoiled in America like we all are, you know, he began to smell body odor. And then, of course, everybody smelled it, but they didn't even care. He said they just worshiped the Lord. And then the story that really touched my heart, Paul, he began to talk about there was these somewhat thugs that hated Christians. It was a satanic operation over in South Africa where they were killing preachers and pastors, and they were raping their wives, murdering their kids, crucifying pastors on the side of the buildings. And they told this particular pastor, you're going to preach in here next Sunday. He was like, are you sure? He said, oh yeah, that don't stop us, we still go. And I thought about, he said they were having revival. He said these people were coming in flocks just to get and hear the word of the Lord. And I remember a little vacation we took years ago to another troubled area called Honduras. And, of course, it wasn't for ministry purposes, but we found a young lady who we believe was a believer. And they didn't have hardly anything. And I'm going to tell you something. The smile, it still resonates in my heart, the peace this lady had. And the Lord began to give me a word, and he called it the blessing of need. Amen. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt there's needs today in the body of Christ. There's needs. And I want you to know something, and the Holy Spirit's got to help me to say it. The situation you're in is actually a blessing. Amen. The need that you have that you thought could take me under. You thought this may be the need that pales every need I've had in the past. I'm here to tell you there's a blessing in the midst of it. Amen. That's why you're in it. Hallelujah. And I want to go back to the passage we were reading, Matthew 9:27. And one of the keys the Holy Spirit wanted me to show you was our faith. Sometimes we don't know this cross as good as we think we know it. Amen. And I believe Brother Swaggart even, I don't know how many of you watch Studying the Word in the mornings. If you don't, it's a blessing. You really ought to. It's free, you know. You can just get fed. So good of stuff. But Brother Swaggart even began to elaborate that we think we know this cross, and everybody, I think, thinks they know it better than they really do. And sometimes our revelation of who God is and what he did, which is the cross, isn't really suffice. Amen. So we begin to ask, and what does James say? We ask amiss. We miss the target. Because you know what moves God? And I've often said it when I've preached to you guys, need doesn't move God. If need moved God, you know, Zimbabwe would be the booming place of revival. But it's not. I don't think that preacher was in Zimbabwe anyway. Where the move of God is where faith is, amen? Where somebody's willing to cry out based on the cross. Well, let's go here in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. And that followed him gripped me, first of all. You know when people are starting to take hold of the cross because they'll just kind of leech on. I remember when Pastor and my brother was going to camp meeting, and I would call my brother up and keep saying, don't drink the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? And I said, oh, you're going to Mecca to, you know, hear a word from the Lord. And I just kept teasing him. And, you know, Pastor said he was reading through it the whole time because I just kept bugging him because it was renting space in my head. Those people you're talking to, those Christians that you're giving the cross to, you keep doing it, amen? Because what's going to happen, they're going to begin to follow, amen? They're going to begin. They won't say it because of pride that, you know, maybe there's something to it, but something begins to click when you know that there's something that they've got that I need. I knew that the freedom my brother was experiencing beat everything I was experiencing with politics in the church that I was at, and it rented space in my head. So what happened to Jesus? He's preaching, he's the answer, he's the way. And it says two blind men followed him. Amen. And it said, and they cried out saying, thou son of David, oh my God, have mercy on me. And the Holy Spirit told me to stop. That's a son of David. They were in essence crying out the messianic plan of salvation. What that goes back to is Adam and Eve. Remember when God said, out of this seed is going to bruise the head of the serpent, amen, they caught that revelation. So when they began to say, oh, our son of David, amen, how many people were probably tugging on Jesus? His fame was spreading even though he told them not to. How many, there had to be scores of people saying Jesus, probably were people cracking jokes. There was probably people making fun and, oh yeah, that's that guy that says he's the Messiah. But there was something about a cry that went past the simple, help me, Lord, I'm falling. It went past the cry that says, oh, Lord, I'm having trouble in this area. It goes past the, Lord, these cigarettes are getting on my nerves. It goes past the point of, God, I'm tired of getting mad at my coworkers. It goes past the point of, Lord, I just don't find the spiritual discipline in my walk. And it went to, thou son of David. Amen. God is looking for us to pray the cross. Amen. We've got to pray the cross. It's not just enough to talk the cross. It's not just enough to even sing the cross and praise God. You sing the cross. But we've got to pray the cross. Amen. That's where revival comes from. And when we cry out, I've got a friend that the Lord had put in my life, and we went round and round with ministering with some substance abuse. And I don't know how many of you have ever dealt with substance abuse. I'm one that can speak personally about it. Amen. And it's an evil thing. You know, and I can relate to the guy that was blind. Because when you're blind, I've seen blind people. And I'm sure it was worse than that day where they have their sticks and they need somebody to always give them a handout. And you need somebody to treat you like a second-rate citizen. And how many know when you've got an addiction, amen, and it don't have to be substance addiction. You can be bound with pride. You may be stuck in yourself. How many of you ever just want to get free from self, amen? And just, you ever got so tired of yourself, you're just like, ah, self, shut up. I've been there. Maybe I was there last night. But amen, sometimes we need to get free of so many things. But I'm going to tell you, this thing about substance abuse, it makes everybody else around you sees it, and you think you're fooling somebody. And it's ugly because people will begin to call you names. Bum. Can't get right. They make up nicknames. We had a guy, we called him Drunky Fresh, and we laugh about it. But, you know, that's hurtful because you can't tell me he come out of the womb wanting to be hooked on drugs. You can't tell me you come out of the womb wanting to beat your wife. You can't tell me you come out of the womb wanting to be subservient to a passion and desire that you can't get hold of in your own strength. God didn't make us that way. Sin did. Hallelujah. But when he said, thou son of David, hallelujah, he cried out that you are the answer. Hallelujah. That God said back in Genesis that was going to set me free. Amen. Somewhere we've got to get a revelation that what that word of God said is true. Hallelujah. That's the difference. Somewhere we've got to get hold that what it says I can do, I can do. Amen. It goes back to Romans 6. Reckon ye yourself, therefore, to be dead in the sin and alive unto God. Hallelujah. There's somewhere we've got to get violent about this. God, I know you can do it. You are the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. And it says, have mercy on us. God is so willing to have mercy. But if it was just his bowels of mercy in and of itself that moved him, how many of you know everybody would be counted blameless? But that's not true. Somewhere our faith has to unlock and touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 28, and when he was coming to the house, the blind man called to him. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him, do you believe that I am able to do this? I thank God that he leaves it up to faith. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because if it was me and you, I have to admit, I might try to market it or something, man, if I could. Maybe, you know, if you give me $100, that would be for drugs, but only $50 for anger, you know. But if you give $500, maybe we could get rid of that adultery spirit, you know what I mean? But God doesn't do that. He says, do you believe? Hallelujah. Thank God for a God that evens the playing field, a common denominator. Somebody give me a witness in here. Amen. God doesn't set one sin better than the other. He says, do you believe? And that's what he's saying to us today. Somebody's walked in this place. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. Somebody's listening through a CD. They may not know where their meal's coming from. They might not know where their spouse is today. Hallelujah. Somebody may, their child is in limbo. And they're worried. Hallelujah. And what is Jesus saying to my situation? You say, preacher, I'm here to tell you, do you believe? Hallelujah. Is he the son of David to you? Or is he just a prophet? Hallelujah. Is he just another way? Or is he the son of David? Hallelujah. Is he what the Word of Faith movement said? He's a great example. Or is he your deliverer today? Hallelujah. I thank God he's my deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. I want you to see something in this. There's two things you got to see, first of all. One, that Jesus is the way. And then number two, that you're not inconveniencing God. All he's got to do is touch you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It says, Paul, all he did was he just simply touched him. Man, that's power. All I need is a touch from the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Your situation you think is so bad. Oh, I've got to lay down in sackcloth and ashes. Maybe I better go on a 40-day fast. All you need is a touch from God. Hallelujah. If we can get God to touch us, the situation is set free. Hallelujah. And he said all he did was touched him. In verse 30, and their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Hey, man, you know, when you get set free, it's hard to keep it under a bushel, man. It's hard. I remember, how many remember when you first got saved? That I told everybody. I think here at Clark Middle School, I'd go walking to school, and everybody around me would have to hear about the Lord, you know, whether they wanted to or not. Then when I couldn't get set free from peer pressure, I'd be at parties drinking and have a little click over to the side preaching the gospel. That's perverted. Don't practice that. I'm just telling you what happened. You know, because one thing that happened when God touches you, amen, there's a song that said, "Oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, but now I know he touched me. It made me whole." All you need is a touch from God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And one of the keys that I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to get to was that it has to do with our revelation of the cross. And how many of you know the cross is in this house? Hallelujah. There's no place I'd rather be, period, than this place right here. Amen. Because what you are listening to will affect what you say, what you believe, how you pray, how you sing, how you preach, everything. Amen. And we've got needs. But there's a blessing in the midst of need. Hallelujah. There is a blessing. And I want you to see something. We're going to look at a revelation. And I want you to see how important and imperative the revelation of this cross is to your to every need you have. 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. And you've read this many times dealing with communion. I want you to hear it this way. It says, "And when they had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat. And this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" How many know that's the cross? Hallelujah. The cross don't get no better than the communion feast. Amen. That's it, right? I mean, that's the nutshell. Hallelujah. Verse 25. "After the same manner also, he took the cup, and he gave sup, saying, 'The cup is the new testament of my blood, and this do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26. "For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you so show the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. But I'm going to stop there. There's two things, baptism and the communion feast, that not only give you the simple understanding, but you also get a display. Amen. That's why we preach that a baptism won't save you. Amen. How many of you know that? Baptism does not save you. But baptism, I've seen people get set free in a baptismal pool. Why? Because their faith was so, it was such a clear display. Not only did I hear it preached, now I've seen it. Amen. How many of you know in the communion supper, that's one of the best revelations of God. We can get delivered in communion. Amen. Communion is what we run to. We don't run from it. Let's keep reading. You're going to see it. It says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, so you show the Lord till he comes." 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." I know in some circles we preach that if you don't go tell everybody you're sorry, and I'm not disagreeing with that. Please tell. We ought not have out with any people to be in fellowship, because fellowship is a part of communion. I'm not taking anything away. But I want to go to what I believe the Holy Spirit's saying in this passage. He's not telling you to make yourself worthy, because that's law. You can't make yourself worthy. Paul, I could ask you to forgive me 20 times, and I'm still not worthy in and of myself. Amen. How many of you know the only thing that makes us worthy is faith being lodged in the workmanship of Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and the grace that comes from that? Paul's talking about where your faith is. Amen. If you drink this cup unworthily, you're guilty. All the condemnation that you escape through faith, you're right back under it. Hallelujah. Listen to it. He said, therefore, let's go to verse 28. "But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And that's what I want to key in on. How many of you know there's healing in the Lord's body? Hallelujah. Don't run away from it, church. Run to it. Hallelujah. There's healing. You may come to church and you say, well, I don't want to eat the bread because, you know, I cussed last night. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you run to the body. Hallelujah. That's where you get the forgiveness from. There's nothing else for us but that. And you may say, well, me and the wife had an argument last night. I'm passing up on. If that was the case, how many know the Catholic Church would be dying like flies? And there's no higher rate in the Catholic Church dying than in the Pentecostal Church. So it can't have to do with your ability to take this thing and not say you're sorry. Because I don't see Catholics going around saying I'm sorry. Hallelujah. But let's keep going. It says, verse 30, for this cause many are weak and are sickly among you, and many are asleep, which means dead. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's perfect. Many are dying because they don't know. And hear me, church. Help me, Holy Spirit. Your healing is in the body. Hallelujah. You don't have to die. You don't have to be sick. Amen. All you got to do is run to the communion. Amen. Communion is right there in your car. I had communion on the way to church this morning. It was glorious. I felt the Holy Spirit all over me. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Lord, help me. Your blood, I plead the blood. I thank you for the body. That's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. You're the only hope I got. Amen. For this cause, people are sick and dying, not properly discerning the Lord's body. How many of you know our understanding of this cross isn't necessarily where we think it is? That's all me, including me, number one. Because every time I think I know something, the Holy Spirit knocks me down and shows me, you don't got it like you think you got it, amen? So what are you saying, brother? I'm telling you, y'all, let's hold to this truth, amen? Every time we hear this cross preached, anytime we can listen to things like Sun Life, amen? Anytime we can hear words in the morning, you know, there's so many resources of people that have it free. Let's get this stuff and eat this stuff, amen? Because that's our hope. That's our lifeline. Hallelujah. Because then when that test comes, you're gonna stand. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Am I making sense, church? Amen. I do hear you breathing, so that's helpful. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord allows us, you know, sometimes when you're going through the trial of life, sometimes it's, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, please. And we think that he's trying to kill me. I know Elijah, sometimes I can't even get him out of the bathtub. And, yeah, it's a little cold, but you're going to get warm. And just give me 10 seconds, you know what I mean? And he'll just throw a fit, amen? And we think God's going to just let us go under. No, he's not. You're going to be all right, child of God. You're going to make it. Amen. He's setting you up for hunger. You know, when I was a kid, I eat when I'm not hungry. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't have believed that. But when I was a kid, when I would go out and play that peewee football, oh, boy, I come back with appetite. You know what I'm saying? And what God is doing, these trials and things we're going through, is like us going out playing this peewee football. Amen. And because there's it's a spiritual principle here. To get filled up, you got to get thirsty. You got to get hungry. Amen. Otherwise, you become fat. Hallelujah. But he's going to get you hungry. He's going to get you thirsty. So then when he drops his revelation on you, guess what? You're going to contain it. You're going to eat it. It's going to go to the right parts of your spiritual body. It's going to go right to your heart. It's going to lodge itself. And you're going to have a belt buckle you can tighten up. And when the storm comes again, you're going to say, I know something now. I know that he's able to take me through. Hey, man, I'm going through one right now in my family. It doesn't have as much awe to it than it used to, but it's a similar struggle. Probably the defining point in my life right now. But I thank God I've got peace in it that I never had before. I never had before, because I'm not going to change my relationship with God. And I just let the spirit realm, you should have killed me when you had a chance. You should have killed me when I was in the crack house knocking on doors, false flagging for Jesus. You should have killed me when I thought that I was serving God and I wasn't. But now you didn't take me. Guess what, Satan? Your best shot has failed. Hallelujah. Because I know something I didn't know. I'm calling out to the Son of David. Hallelujah. I've got a relationship with the God that made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now. Hallelujah. I know something about the Master. Hallelujah. That he came and that all life is put within what he did on the cross. I know that there's nothing else in this world, in this universe, that can do anything for a man dealing with the inside and dealing with thoughts and impressions than the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if I want to go build a house, I'll go to school for it. But if I want to go build this spiritual house, I'm going to Dr. Jesus, amen, because he's the only one that'll do it, and he'll never get me to think differently, amen. And I know that I know he's defeated, hallelujah. But chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Somebody say shall be filled, hallelujah, amen. You're blessed. The blessing of need. Hallelujah. There's a blessing in need. You're blessed today if you're sitting in a need right now. You're blessed and may not even know it. You're blessed because you're able to experience the sense of hunger that some people who aren't going through it, because Satan's not fighting them because they're already on the wrong path, they don't sense that. How many of you ever, you ate so much that you didn't even feel hungry, and you say, I got to go a day or a day and a half or two without eating because I need to feel hunger again. I know nobody in here ever eats like that. But you can eat to where you're just tired of eating. And then when you feel hunger again, that's a good feeling. Like, yeah, I'm hungry. Amen. This is what God is doing. Amen. We're hungry. If you're not hungry, that's a good prayer for you. God, make me hungry again. I lost my hunger one time in the county jail, and I thought God had left me because I didn't have that burning desire to, oh, God, help me. And I didn't have it, and I thought I had backslid too far. Somebody needs to hear this today. I thought that I had did one wrong too many. I thought that this last sin that I did, God just, okay, he still loves me, but it's not the same as it used to be. Oh, what a lie from the pit of hell. Because when I got in jail, I remember in Montgomery County Jail, they were suffering overcrowdedness at the time. And there was this brutish thug from Philadelphia that kept giving me food. And I'm diabetic. And if I didn't have food, I would go through some crazy withdrawals and hunger again. But what happened, he looked down at me and said, I don't know why, man. I just want to help you. I don't have no clue why, man. It's not normal for me. And he said, I normally take people's food. I'm giving you mine. And I was like, sir, I said, you have no clue. People are praying. I said, you have no clue. Well, he left, and I think I went through 3 weeks where they didn't put anybody in, and I couldn't understand it, but I'm so glad, because by this point, I looked like the biggest wimp in the county jail, because I cried, and I cried, and I cried for at least 2 to 3 weeks straight, and I kept walking around listening to a Walkman with praise and worship music, and it was just tearing me up, and I just cried like a baby, and I was just trying to keep my face down, because I didn't want to say, oh, here's a little punk in here, you know, but oh my God, but I know something. God gave me back that hunger. And if you're going through a dry spell in your life and you're wondering, where's the hunger after Jesus I used to have? I had it last year. The Holy Spirit's talking to somebody. I had it 2 years ago. Amen. I had it a month ago. I don't know what your situation is. I'm here to tell you, all you got to do is cry out to the Son of David. Amen. All you got to do is make a draw on the Spirit. Amen. God is in your situation with you. He has not left. He knew what the fire you had. He gave it to you. You didn't invent it. That was him. And you thought it left. It's just subsided, but he'll invoke the hunger, because blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's about to fill you. You're about to get filled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 18 and 23, my last scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. Isn't it good to be in relationship with Jesus Christ? No place I'd rather be. Hallelujah. Chapter 18, verse 23. And the Lord began to show me something on this passage before we go into it. That the whole idea of your revelation of God and what you're holding on to and applying the cross to your prayer, applying the cross to every facet of your life, applying the cross to that dry drought that you get sometimes. And nobody's always dripping wet in the spirit. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? And if you're in a dry spell, you get out of it through the cross. And I'm about to show you here that prayer is also the cross. And Lot did it. And we all know the story of Abraham and Lot. Just to kind of recap, they had to pick sides. And Lot chose what he could see, the plains of Mamre, I believe it was, where it was watery and everything looked good. And Abram, being a man of faith, which was Abraham at that time, said, "You take the left, I take the right, because God's going to bless me wherever I go." Well, Lot goes into Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know Sodom and Gomorrah is a type of wickedness. There was homosexuality and all kinds of evil, wicked vices going on. And what happened, the cries of this place was going up to God. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And you see a man of God going into to a wicked society. Look what happens, how he talks to the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" He's interceding for Lot. And I want you, let me preclude it with this, church. And I don't mean to bore you, but I want you to get a hold of this. This is a good truth. Approaching God, especially in prayer, is similar to, and pardon the crudeness of the analogy, I don't mean this fully. It's the best thing I can come up with. It's kind of like when you're courting a woman, okay? You know, I hope my wife's listening in the room. When I went to her, all I had to do was say, "Come here," and she came. No, I'm just playing. Sometimes you have to woo them, amen? And it's just like your children when they come to you. You know, they, "Hey, Daddy," there's a certain way they say it that may mean different than, "Can I get the bike?" No. "Daddy," you know, "You love us." And they work on those bowels of compassion and the mercy, amen? And you're going to see the same thing here. Knowing the cross and knowing he's the Son of David took Jesus off of his course. Come on, somebody. Jesus was going some direction. And these two blind men said, "Thou Son of David." They called on a character of who he was and made him take notice. Who is this calling on me? Hallelujah. And sometimes we have to do that. Hallelujah. It says, and Abraham drew near, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" We know God is a lot more integral God than to do that. Verse 24, "Peradventure, perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and spare this place the 50 righteous who are therein?" You don't let 50 righteous people go down. "That be far from you. And you ain't even like that guy. You're a good guy." Amen. He's telling him how much he loves him as his son. How many of you know the Bible says, "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father"? Abba means Daddy God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and cry, "Abba, Father." Go ahead and call him what the cross made him. Hallelujah to us. Hallelujah. Go ahead and tell him what the word, bring it back to him. Hallelujah. He wants to hear it. Hallelujah. It said, "Be that far from you after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked." Go to verse 26. "And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare that place for their sakes. And Abram answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon to speak unto you, Lord. Be respectful which am but dust and ashes. Hallelujah. That's the humility. This isn't a, and I know in some maybe word of faith may teach you, you could tell God what you want. No, it's not. It's not like that. We understand that he's the master, and we're but mere men, undeserving of to even really be in his presence. But because of the blood, hallelujah, I said because of the blood, I can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in my time of need. Amen. How do you know we can obtain mercy for this lost and dying world? We can obtain mercy for that situation you're in. You can obtain mercy for that sinful lust or whatever it is that we're finding ourselves falling prey to and can't get free from it. Go to verse 28. Peradventure there you find you lack five of those 50. He's working him down. Hallelujah. Will you destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if you find 40, will you destroy it? Amen. And then he said, peradventure, go down to the second half of 30. There shall, second half of verse 30. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And as he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20. Amen. You get the point, do you? I don't want to necessarily go each verse if I don't have to. Remind God. God, you're a good God. You won't take me and my family under. You know why? Because I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Amen. You're going to grow this church. You know why? Because the Bible says you're not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Amen. And it's not a magical word. It's you believe this, don't we? Amen. We believe this, right? Amen. Let's take God to his word. He wants to bless us. Amen. There's a blessing in need. There's a blessing in need today. Hallelujah. And I just want to, if you want to stand to your feet, I don't have anything long. I just want to pray. Amen. And I want to pray for our pastor, first of all. And I want to take God to his word corporately. And because one thing's for sure, God will do exactly what he said he's going to do. Hallelujah. And yes, thank you, Michelle, if you could play something for us. God, what is he saying to us today, Mahari? He's saying, first of all, need is sometimes is not an issue of you. Sometimes it's not an issue of even Satan. Sometimes God's the author of it. Sometimes God puts us in a drought so that we can experience hunger. Amen. That could be the Lord. And sometimes when it is Satan, amen, he's going to set you free. Don't ouch and moan and groan. Just know this, that if I keep my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, he will set you free. Hallelujah. He's going to do it. And we know this, that when the blind man said, thou son of David, have mercy on me, he called on the truth of who God is and what he promised he would do on this earth. He took God back to it. It's the same thing Abram did for Lot. He said, God, far be it from you. You're a God of mercy and compassion. You're not going to kill 50 righteous with wicked. And we can do the same thing. Far be it from you, God, to allow our man of God to go under and keep suffering this. God, you're going to heal him today. You're going to set him free. Hallelujah. Y'all just begin to worship the Lord, and we're going to go right into prayer for our pastor. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. We just lift up our hands to you today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God today. You're a God that has power. Hallelujah. You're a God of mercy. Hallelujah. You're a God of wisdom. Hallelujah. You're a God of understanding. And God, you did not put us in this place, Lord, to just suffer droughts in different areas. You did not put us in our own homes, Lord, to suffer drought. You did not put us in this saved body, hallelujah, to be a person that's in a dry zone. But you said you'd fill us. And Father, we start with our pastor today. Lord, we cry out for him. Y'all begin to pray in the Spirit if you're full of the Holy Spirit. And when you speak in tongues, just begin to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for our pastor. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have already sent the word, hallelujah, to him. Sister Ravana, Lord, give her the strength, Lord. Father, we thank you that this which is attacking our pastor, Lord, is definitely not unto death. But Father, it's not even to any death and any manifestations in our church. We're going to stay alive, Lord, and you're going to heal that body. Father, help the doctors, Lord, that they can see what they could never have seen without your touch on them, Lord. Lead them to the right doctor. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a miraculous outcome from this. Father, that he won't suffer it no more. Father, that these sweaty flashes that he's getting, he doesn't understand it. Father, you're going to set him free right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Father, we know you're going to do it because you love us, Lord. And you asked that. You said healing was the children's bread. You said healing was the children's bread, Father, and we have a right to come boldly. And we thank you for that right, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're under the sound of my voice right now, and Paul, if you come down here and help me, I'd appreciate it. If you're under the sound of my voice right now, and you're suffering any type of drought in the spirit, and I really sensed it strong while I was preaching, and it could be anything, and it's not anybody's business to... Who cares? That's one thing I'm big on. If we want set free, that blind man that wanted set free did not care who thought, oh, look at that blind beggar walking by. Who cares? If you have need, if you would like to be filled today, and if you would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, and you've never had the blessed honor of speaking in tongues, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. I see that hand. If you're going through a dry spell in your life and you would like to have that fire given back to you, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Hallelujah. If you have any physical healing that's needed, or even for a family member, any special request in here today, can I see the hand? Hallelujah. Amen. I see that hand. I see the other hand too. Let everybody come down here today and we begin to pray. Hallelujah. And everybody just maintain an attitude of prayer and worship, because there's a few people that need your faith today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you pray her to receive the Holy Spirit right here? Hey, sweetie, come. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
right now. Father, give us a spirit of grace, Lord, for the time of need. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, give her the evidence right now. Hallelujah. Give her a tangible touch, Lord, where she knows she's got you. And never fear it again. Never fear again. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for my sister, Lord. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, as she begins to cry, son of David, Lord, let that rise up from the inner man, Lord, as she never has before. Lord, give her the cry from the Spirit, Lord. Holy Ghost, we need you to cry properly. There's no way to do it outside of you. Lord, but let it reach you. Lord, let that faith come up, Lord, and grab the altar, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, right now. Oh, yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, Lord, let her know you're in that zone with her. You're in that fight with her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're right there with her. You're blessed, young lady. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed right now in the name of Jesus. He has not forgotten you. Satan, you're a liar. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for my sister. Lord, I thank you for her spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, what she does in secret, Lord, you're rewarding her openly. So, Father, give her, hallelujah, a second dose of your touch, Lord. Lord, take her back to time, Lord. Behind it in her soul right now. We need her gift right here. We need her mother and spirit right here, Father. Lord, rise up in her in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Begin to praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. People are getting touched from the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship the Lord. We need your faith in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody else have a need? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I wish I could sing in moments like this. Hallelujah. 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 And those of you that have loved ones, you let them know, hallelujah, if they're believers, that they don't have to go under, amen, that God is able. Sometimes God give us a word to give other people, amen, because people have this reluctance to set maybe in here. They're going to be here, but in the meantime, God will use us as carriers, amen, carriers of the gospel. Amen. I think Romans 10 says, blesser, you know, how should they hear unless one is sent? How should they hear unless he preaches? Amen. So if God gives you a word and you take it to somebody, he's using you as a preacher. Amen. Keep preaching the gospel. The cross is all we got, you guys, but it's not just all we got. It's more than enough. It's glorious. Amen. Hallelujah. Young man, I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I guess if all minds are clear, brother, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have anything, Paul?
Above all, what a wonderful song for a wonderful altar call. Above all, and that's where we have to put Jesus, above everything, above all, above our own personal needs, our own personal pride, our own personal whatever it is, or the needs of others. If we can put Him where He has to be, everything else will fall into place. Brother Mahari, thank you for that word this morning, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for this sweet, sweet time at the altar. Let's just pray and dismiss, and I pray that everybody has a wonderful rest of the day. Enjoy the weather outside. Enjoy summer that's here. And just be blessed in the Lord this week. And remember the word that the man of God has brought this morning. I'm sure it will help you all through the week. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for everything, Lord Jesus. But most of all, for who you are, for what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. That only by grace, Lord Jesus, we will be where we're at today, Lord. Lord, just continually to remind us, Lord Jesus. Lord, remind us of that sacrifice you paid. Remind us that it's all about you, Lord, and that's all there is, Lord. Lord, continue to give us the hunger, Lord Jesus, to seek after you, to seek the things of you, to seek after what you have for us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, again, we know that you'll guide us, Lord. Be with us this week. Protect us, guide us, and lead us. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.